God. Our loving Heavenly Father, to you we've come, recognizing that thou art the all-knowing God. Your word says, if we desire wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, ask of you, you will give it to us freely. Please, Lord, impart now divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to these thy people, to each of us, that we might rise above that which seemed to be at us, knowing that you mean the very best for us. Thank you now, as we ask you to do as always. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have two questions before I start the actual teaching. Anyone ever played, not played, what do you call it, fix puzzles? You ever had a puzzle to fix?
Yes.
Puzzle, fixing puzzles. How, I think they each puzzle have the amount of pieces in it before you buy it, right? What's the most you ever fix? Five? Come on, man. They joints, junk, I mean, giant pieces. 500? You've done 500? 1,000? Wow. Anybody ever finish it? That's the point. I couldn't finish it. Most times, I didn't have the patience. How do you fix puzzles? You look for shapes, but you also look for colors, shapes and colors. Point. Second question. There are three arms of, Sister Ferguson had an eye procedures. There are three arms of surgery or callings within the eye profession. What are they called? Ophthalmologist, one.
Yes.
Optometrist, two. And the one, I mean, most of them around here who give you eyeglasses. No, there's one who fits you for your eyeglasses. The optometrist is the ones who examine you and determine and write a prescription for you. That's an optometrist. The ophthalmologist is the person who's able to perform surgery because of their training. Then there's some people who test you, the little ones that test you for your eye. What is the shop you go to? Optical, right? The little optical shop. The little ladies in there without the what? Optician. That's it. There are three of them. But each of them have a different role based on their training.
Amen. The dynamics. What's
components? You got me now? Okay. Components of something, what? But the components that do what? What the components, then it is components, like what? Everybody talk, I ain't getting you. What you say? That cause it to work. That it's almost what we call the driving components, the encouraging components, that force kind of thing that drives this thing to function properly. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about it. It's that motivating force that works with you throughout the development of the whatever that is that is functioning at that particular time. Dynamics. Now, you know I have to always make sure that that's right, because you will leave like the Bereans. Check the dictionary. Some of y'all checking on your phone right now, because you got, what do they call the thing? Data. And you watching and you checking your data. Now, I said it before. And I don't know the author of who said it or wrote it, but here's my thing when it comes to vision. If your vision, what I say? Anybody else? Nikki has it as, if your vision don't scare you, your vision may be too small. If your vision is not big enough to scare you, maybe it's too small. And that's why some people look at us when we go talk about the church and say, you're crazy or something, you know, because if your vision is too small, I mean, if it don't scare you, maybe you're aiming at something too small. See, because vision depends on God to accomplish. And what I found out about God is, ain't nothing he can't do. So I just give him some, if he is the God of the impossible, why I should give him little things to do? No, sir. So your vision ought to scare you. Let me tell you something. I'm only setting the basis for my forward going forward. I'm gonna deal with it more detail as we go through beginning next week. But vision entails, listen to what vision really is. It entails the manifestation. That's bringing into reality things in the future which you have never known before. That's vision. God show you some stuff that affects your life in the future, but you never known it before. That's vision. When you see, there is what we call dreams and vision. Eh? You know they're not the same. They cannot be the same. In the book of Joel chapter 2, he says, your old man shall dream dreams and your young man shall what? See visions, because they're different. What's the main difference between a vision and a dream? Anybody? You're wide awake for the vision and you're sleeping when you're dreaming. Amen. That's basically what it is. That's what make it. Now, that's a main. Yes, you can daydream. Yes, you can, you know. You can't. You remember when you wake up this morning, couldn't go to sleep? You start dreaming about all kind of how much money you had and you ain't got none. You understand? When you wake up, you're broke, still broke. You, ain't nothing wrong with that. But also, a dream emerges out of our own experiences. That's what you dream. Deep down, subconscious feelings and knowledge that is being suppressed sometimes, eventually they surface up while the real you sleep. That's what happens. Huh? Boy, that's when you have your greatest success. In your dreams. When you wake up, you mad with yourself. My God, I thought I had it. You understand? I really thought. But then sometimes them dreams, when you wake up, you'll be glad to wake up too. Some must be slaying demons in the dreams. All kind of spirit and thing coming up at us in our dreams. You'll be so glad you wake up. And then you say, my God, thank you, Jesus. It's only a dream. It happens because it comes out of our experiences. But vision, I'm talking about real vision. Vision is not, see, you're wide awake. It doesn't come out of the experience. It comes from future projection that God is directing. See what I'm saying? See, when God is doing the work, you could trust the end results. Don't mind what it look like. See, that's why when you have, and that's why you can't set these, I mean, anyhow, these little tiny visions, what people be setting. I don't have the time today to talk about it, but you're talking about, see, when you set goals are not so much visions. You see what I'm saying? Goals are what you're trying to achieve and reach based on what you are capable of achieving. By the end of the year, you know what? I want to save. I have a vision. By the end of the year, I can save $5,000. That's gold, man. You could do that. You just need to stop eating all them bamboo shark and ting them after ting them. You understand what I'm saying? That's all. Eat salad. Not from Wendy's either. You better make that, because that just as expensive as a bamboo shark. Or more. I go on to what I eat healthy. I'll have a, what is it? Chicken apple pecan salad. You say you want a, what is small one there? You want a, small or SMS, I want, everything I eat small and salad, I want a lot. When you reach the count, $7, $8, SMS, in the name of Jesus, not for the letters, without, no sir. Mm-mm. So you better make your own salad home, that's the first thing. If you want to save that money you're talking about at the end of the year. Because those are goal setting. Yeah. And when you set goals, at the end of the year, when you go to the bank, you might have $5,000 saved, you know what I mean? As you said, from January. Or you might have $6,000. But most people just have $500 instead of $5,000, because we didn't meet our goals. That's what goals are. Here's the landmark of a vision, and we can talk about how this is achievable. Here's the landmark of a vision that's given by God. Every time, all the time, 100% of the time, it's always accomplished. Every time. But let me tell you something. We can talk about it in Hosea when he said, "Though the vision tarry, you ain't got to worry, brother. If God give you the vision, it shall come to pass." That's how you mark godly vision. 100%, all the time, every time, without failure, it must come to pass. Because if it don't come to pass, either God didn't show it to you, or God can't do what he says he will. And my brothers and sisters, you know the last clause is absolutely foolishness. Nothing shall be impossible with our God. So, James, just a result of our own experiences, vision has that which is projected by God and shall come to pass. As we know it, vision is in two dimensions. Two dimensions. And I know this could be very short, because y'all ain't it anyhow. I don't want to go too far into nothing deep. There's two dimensions to vision. The first dimension is what? Physical sight. That's vision, you know. I'm waving at some people, I know you can't see me. Amen. You see, when I try to read verse, what it was, 14, or what I was reading something, because I couldn't see it. See, my reading, my scriptures are very large. I increase this. As I get older, it goes bigger and bigger. That's all. So they think I could read good, but it just keep going bigger and bigger. You see how big that is now? That ain't, and it bold too. I ain't taking no shady chance. Color in, so I could see it far, far, and close. But that thing, I think we could change this Bible shortly so we get a bigger print Bible, large print, you know? But first and foremost, the first dimension of vision has to do with the natural. The ability to what? See. It's fading, it's losing. Some of us is losing it. Ms. Ferguson says hers have been restored. Praise God. Amen. It's been wonderful. And we bless God for that. And she come right to church while I talk about vision today. Amen. First time by. Amen. But even in this first dimension of physical sight, hear me, people of God, because we're going to go in very great depth with regards to this, but I want you to pay attention to the foundation I'm laying. Even in the physical, the natural, if you are blind, you got yourself a problem. You in trouble. you can't see anything, you are physically in this life, you're in trouble. Because you're going to need somebody to carry you around. I mean, there's some, I'm talking about normal, there's some people who can do it by themselves with their stick, the dog, whatever else, but literally, you have some complications. You got some challenges you can have to face. That's if you are literally, physically, naturally blind. Most of us will give up. How many senses we have? Is sight one of them?
Yes.
My God, y'all operating today. Out of the five senses we have, which one will you want to lose? I say which one? I didn't say none. Was that an option? If you examine it, you look at one, at just one, any one. More than likely, ain't tasting. Bahamians, it can't be tasting. Not for Bahamian. No, sir. Might be smelling, but ain't tasting. I got to smell the food, but I eat. What? No, sir. Ain't smelling. But at the end of the day, on top priority of our ability to manage the senses, one of the top priority of those senses is what? Sight. It controls almost who we are. See, I want you to pay some attention to it, because in laying the foundation, you have to see the importance of vision. And always remember, if something, we use the natural to understand the spiritual, right? If something in the natural is important, brother, when you migrate that over to the spiritual, it takes on a double portion of importance in the spiritual realm. So, when you talk about this being in trouble because you lost your sight, we can see that all through the community, all through our lives, there are people who are blind, and they are, you know, they're not enjoying, and they have challenges in their lives. The second dimension of vision is the spiritual vision. Lined up in line with physical vision. Because each of us are born spiritually blind. Amen? In sin did my mother conceive me. You are born in sin. So each of us start off our spiritual journey blinded to the things of God. If the physical blindness presents challenge to us, how are you going to operate in the spirit realm being blind? You already can't see spirit, except you're born with cord. They say, well, cord, what's in there? Wrong your arm, a cord, right? Something. And if you're born with a cord, you can see spirit, plenty. You be warring in the spirit all night. All night. You be chopping here and kung fu fighting all night if you're born with cord. That's what they tell me. I ain't born with none. But see, how you expect people of God, this is so serious. I wish I wasn't going and could have carried this a little longer, because you got to understand your existence, your life, your experience in the kingdom of God depends on you being able to have a vision, man. What the text says, where there is no vision, people perish. The most amazing thing with this, because some of you are going to miss next week, is the fact that, listen how it says, where there is no vision, who perish? People perish. But when you're blind, who hurt? You. But when you have no vision, who hurt? People, man, not just you. Your lack of vision in the kingdom of God, in the spirit realm, is hurting people. Because everybody's born in sin. If the blind lead the blind, we have problems. The Bible says they'll all end up in a ditch. So in those people who are spiritually blind need some people with spiritual vision to guide them so they can safely reach the kingdom of God. You're messing up people's lives because you have no vision. To be satisfied with that is no good. Because let me tell you something. If the Bible says, where there's no vision, people perish. If you who have spiritual sight with vision and don't exercise it, do you realize some of your children can end up in hell because you did not guide them the right way? People perish where there is no vision. You know many people on the job where you left, not the one you are now, because you're already gone. I told me the last job you was on, you were a Christian, and you did not shine your light. And some folks you left behind there, if you don't run into them some other way, they will be forever lost because you expressed no vision when you were there the last time. And the Lord had you there over time. You spent extra hours, extra years on that job, crying and complaining. But he said, all I was trying to do is let you see the vision. Right in our own houses right now? On our jobs right now? In the church right now, in the communities right now, the Bible puts it this way, you are the light of the world. You are. People are depending on your vision. Depending on it. In this second dimension of vision, spiritual vision, your sight is divinely influenced by God. Hallelujah. Now for me, I believe there are two types of people who are blind in the world physically. One, you're born blind. You know, some people are born blind. But for me, I believe the worst one is where you had sight. And then you lose it. Especially if it's foolish losing it. By the accident of a drunken driver, the wheel hits you in your eyes and you no longer can see. All because he had too much to drink and you were coming home from prayer meeting. So I think if you had sight and lost your sight, that's more painful than the person who never knew what colors were all about. Hallelujah. We can examine all these. Because in the Bible, there are people like that. There's the man in St. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1, where Jesus met this man, and the Bible says he was born blind. It specifically, clearly says it. He was born blind. Let's read verse 1 of St. John, chapter 9, verse number 1. Let's read. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born? Understand, when the Bible puts it this way and didn't give him a name, it's representative of you, because you too were born spiritually blind. You can put your own name in the midst of this, because it's really talking about you. John could have very well recorded his name, but he said, no, it will mean Ellison and John and all the rest of you. Your name will be inserted in the list. The good about this story, it ended, if you go, we don't have the time to go through it right now, but if you go to the end of the story, when you get a chance, read it. Somebody asks the mother, he said, is that your son who was born blind, the parents? He said, is it really him? Because now he can see after Jesus, he met Jesus. The mother looks and says, no, listen, he of age now. He can speak for himself. So go ask him. And they had the nerve to go ask him. He said, man, is it really you? He said, man, who did this to you? What did he say? I don't know his name. All I know, once I was blind, but now I could see. Hasn't that been your story? In the name of Jesus. Haven't you met him too? Was blind, but now you could see. But unlike that man, we too know the light of the world is who? Jesus the Christ. Paul was one who was not born blind. Paul brought in the spiritual sight. He was on the road to Damascus. There shone a bright light in his face because he was riding his horse. You don't have vision sleeping. You have vision wide awake. And he starts speaking to Christ. The Bible says he was blinded for 3 days. But then he received his sight and went on preaching the gospel. Became one of the what? One of the greatest apostles ever hit the missionary tracks. When you have physical blindness, you need your vision, because otherwise when you walk in, you will what? Stumble, fall. And they got some wicked people will put stuff in your way. Yes. Just to see if you're really blind. And before you know it, you're falling over. You need somebody to help you, and in it, you're the one who is suffering, needing the help. But when you get vision, things change. Amen? When you could now see for yourself, people don't have to pick out your clothes. People don't have to tell you what we're giving you to eat today. I know I've run into some people, no, not some people, one or two persons who, what do you call it? They're blind, but all they knew how much money you give them. You don't fool around. You can't confuse them with the money. No. Now, Rev, why you only give them $5? How you know how much I gave you? You know, say, because I got to put this up from so and so. How you gonna find it when you don't put it out? But you are at a disadvantage. But when you have your vision, you know you could fix things up for yourself. Amen. You could go as you wish, and you could come as you please. So throughout this series, beginning next week, we can look at some of the dynamics of vision, which affects how we see things. Believe it or not, even with physical vision, there is the dynamics of knowledge. When you know something, you see it differently. Hallelujah. There was an accident on the side of the road, and I talking about blood is everywhere. It looks as if the individual is dead. I am so scared, I don't even want to stop where I can't stand it because I don't understand. But a nurse or a doctor who's been trained comes along and says, move out of the way, let me just take care of him. There's nothing really wrong with him. Knowledge is a great dynamics of vision. The Bible puts it this way, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Isn't the same thing in our text today? What the text says? Where there is no what? Vision, people what? But Jose says, my people perish for the lack of what? Knowledge. Because knowledge is a great dynamics of vision. Secondly, the dynamic of vision depends sometimes, and hear me, I'm going to detail all of this a little bit later, I'm just laying the foundation, on the wellness of the apparatus you're using to see with. Hallelujah. Even if that's your physical eyesight, how well that is and healthy that is will determine how well you could see. Amen? The glasses you bought the one you're wearing, how good that is will determine how well you could see images. Sometimes you, and let me put it this way, not Bible truth, no other church pun intended. Sometimes the teaching you're receiving is sometimes your greatest hindrance to seeing true vision. The stuff you're feeding your spirit with. Because what you take in feeds the inner man. If you know, what helps vision in the natural? Carrots, eh? Carrots? Well, the shop empty now. Everybody, carrots. That works. Carrot on what? Omega 3. Well, I straight. See, that's why I eat fish every day. But if you don't feed the natural man, you will go blind. If you're not careful to the wellness of the inner man, the vision God gives you will become dim. We can teach you, and we hope you'll be able to see and understand how you clear up this vision from God. Because guess what? Do you know what I like about it? In studying all of this, you know what I like about it? Every time, 100% of the time, all the time, it always comes to pass. Always. That's why when I come to business meeting and other points of teaching, I say to people sometimes, when I don't see the vision from the Lord with regards to an aspect of something, man, I can say that I don't care how far down the road that is. I know it shall come to pass. The building we started down the road, we didn't do that of our own. God's vision is embedded in that. His vision is upon that. We are being guided by his vision for that. I tell you, you one day will join us in moving our cars through the streets of Nassau, heading to that place, because the God we serve 100% of the time always come true. He will deliver on that vision. That vision shall come to pass. Because it's God's vision. That's how you trust God. So the dynamics will teach you how to develop this vision in the life and in your own life for God. Now, just one point and then we're going to go. Can't give you no more than this. When it comes to spiritual vision, carrots help you with your physical. Omega 3, eat some jacks. I gave Joy and Freedom some the other day. I don't know if they have any more left. But Omega 3 helps you with your eyesight. But when it comes to spiritual vision, there's only one real component that causes it to work. It's only one thing God used to influence vision in the Christian's life. And that is his words. The word of God. Hallelujah. That's why my wife is so sharp spiritually. Because let me tell you something. She studied that word. All the time. You mightn't read the scriptures for the day. But trust me, every last one, constantly, all the time. Call the big words too, yeah? That's the big words too. God can only use his word, illuminated by the power of his spirit, to accomplish vision in your life. Here's how he says it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. He exerts the power of his word in the earth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God, listen how he says it. Let's read together. Hebrews 4 and 12 says what? For the word of God is what? Quick. It's what? Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. Man, God uses the power of his word. He said, now, I ain't using no little piece of instruments. I'm using something sharper than any human instrument will ever use. The power of his words. Hallelujah. The book of Romans, and all of us know Romans chapter 1 and 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God uses the power of his word with by the illumination of his Holy Spirit to accomplish his will in the earth. His vision is that it will come to pass. Don't fool yourself. He's not slack concerning his promise. If you go home and read through the book of Matthew chapter 24, there's some things printed there right now that have not yet come to pass. But I guarantee you, before this world is end, it shall come to pass. Wars and rumors of wars. The Antichrist will come upon us. Israel will rule again. Countries like America, China, Russia, and Great Britain will go down one day. That shall come to pass. The rulership. Don't you wish that he had said the Bahamas will rule the world one day? My God, we'll want to live forever. Because you can need to be living forever just to see that. Let me close by saying this, that no matter what God said to you, no matter how he says it, it shall come to pass. And I will close with this puzzle, this idea of, what do you call it? Completing a puzzle stuff. The puzzle has many pieces with different shapes. Doesn't it represent each of us? Colors, it represents each of us. Have you ever tried to finish to complete the puzzle without the picture? In order to finish the puzzle, you normally put the picture of the box up and see how it goes. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Try fixing it without the puzzle, without the picture. See what you come up with. With the picture, we can't finish it. Some of us, I mean, not all of y'all, but some of us. We can't fix it with an outdoor puzzle. Hallelujah. But all the pieces of the picture are in the box. And I'm not talking about the 500 and the 1,000 piece puzzles. They are joke. They are your goals. They're not, when it comes to vision, that ain't vision yet for God. The vision of God is so great, no human mind can comprehend it. Where you stop, he says, eyes have not seen, ear have not heard, nor has it even entered the hearts of a man what God has in store. When it comes to the vision of God, man, let me tell you something, human minds cannot comprehend. So we're living below our least potential when it comes to us fulfilling vision. So if you don't, isn't it easier when you have all the, I mean, sometimes you look at the color in order to get it where it should be. You see a yellow and you saw a yellow on the picture, so you know yellow goes somewhere in this neighborhood. That's how you, if you don't know how to do it, that's how you do it. All right? Then you start putting the pieces together. It's, see, when it comes to God's vision, it's massive. Hallelujah. And the problem with some of us is we try to limit God to our scope of understanding. Then you want the church to operate based on your vision. And you barely could find the first color to go with the next yellow. You understand what I'm saying? But God's vision is so massive. We need to open ourselves to be able to understand the vision of God. It's sure enough beyond, listen to what I says, all human comprehension. My God, you didn't even finish, I don't look at you, you don't even finish high school, yes, and you think you got it all. Because you got a little piece of degree, just a master's or a doctorate, I don't care what degree is. He says all human comprehension combined together cannot finish this puzzle. But you think you got it all together? Hallelujah. Jesus. And let me paint the picture. You know what the picture on the screen is? You know what the picture on the box is with all those pieces? You are but one part of that picture. You're just one piece. Your story is one piece of the puzzle. But you know the amazing thing God said to me? He said, Ellison, but no puzzle is complete unless all the pieces put in place. If one is missing, they go searching for that piece. Oh, Jesus. I wish you could understand vision from God's perspective. Man, listen, you're messing up our picture. That's why vision affects people. Physical vision affects you. But spiritual vision, we're trying to paint a picture here for the glory of God. And we need you, brother. Your family needs that piece to be fitted. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about your job, but the church, the Bible Truth Ministries, needs you to finish this piece. For God's sake, man, plug in. Isn't it about time you plug in? Not your vision. Because you can't figure out where this thing going. So we search the scriptures. That's what provides us with the picture. The word of God. I don't know about you. But I'm looking forward to him finishing with me. So I could fit in that puzzle. Because you could achieve the whole world. And it means nothing. You're still in the right place. You could have everything. Because only what's done for Christ is what's going to last. If you want to know your vision God has for you, man, you got to get into what? Word of God. We said that's the only way it is. And we hope as we go forward, we'll find ourselves that missing piece. The people of God, hear me when I tell you this easy and sound loud and clear. The missing piece isn't the person who didn't come to Bible study last week. The missing piece is you. It's me, Lord. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Not my mother, nor my father, nor my sister, nor my brother, not my wife, nor my husband, not my children. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I am out of place. Fix me, Lord. See, because he know the shape. He know the color. He know where you fit. He says right now, I'm dealing with 6 billion pieces. That's what's on earth right now. He said, but I have a picture that extends from eternity. Yeah, from Adam to right now. Hallelujah. And I got all of them placed in the right place. Oh, you should see what happens with what he's doing. Hallelujah. The Bible says not one sparrow falls to the ground that he's not accounted for. Not a tree you plant, nor what I dig up. He's not blotted from his picture. Amen. When your time comes, he'll deal with you too. Oh, but you could have a wonderful life. Paul says, as I look back over my life, I realize I have not yet apprehended. I'm not all that I should be. As I look over my life, I realize I still need God. I need God. I need God to provide me with vision, to provide me with inspiration. That when I get discouraged, when I get down in house, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, when my feet get weary from traveling, when I can't seem to be at unrest, there is a God. Hallelujah.
picks up the pieces and puts them all together again. How do you do it, Ellison? I do it just like Paul. I think not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind me. I don't mind what I used to be. Hallelujah. Don't mind how messed up my life was in the past. I forget that which is behind me. Tell me and talk bad about what I used to do. That's your business. But for me, I forget my yesterdays and hold on to my right now. And with a vision, I see before me angels beckoning me. I see a home prepared for me. I see a mansion just over the hilltop. I'm on my way towards that mansion. I'm on my way to meet my mother. And I'm on my way because I know the vision, though it tarry, it shall come to pass.